Hello, you. So, welcome to my first official audio science experiment. Something that I've been wanting to do, or I guess interested in doing for quite some time, has been hysterical literature. I've kind of held back on it, and the reason being for that is because the books that I find sexy, that I like, are not the normal run-of-the-mill books, which is fine. But I've kind of pushed the idea back. So, your request has made me kind of want to come out of my shell a bit and try it. And so that's exactly what I'm going to do with this. If this goes well, and you like it, I would be willing to dig through my collection of novels that I have and maybe duplicate this audio in a way. Possibly, maybe, I don't know. It's odd because I'm a bit shy about this one. In one of my first audios that I ever posted about the bookstore that you mentioned, I mentioned a book in there that nobody figured out. Unfortunately. So I'm going to read you one chapter from my favorite poetry book of all time. And then we'll just see how it goes, right? And kind of go from there. And if you like it, then I would be willing to also read from my favorite philosophers and things as well, but no pressure. Okay. Oof. Chapter 5. So I descended from the first enclosure down to the second circle, that which girdles less space but grief more great, that goes to weeping. There, dreadful Minos stands, gashing his teeth, examining the sins of those who enter. He judges and assigns as his tail twines. I mean that when the spirit born to evil appears before him, it confesses all, and he, the connoisseur of sin, can tell the debt in hell appropriate to it. As many times as Minos wraps his tail around himself, that marks the sinner's level. Always there is a crowd that stands before him. Each soul in turn advances towards the judgment. They speak in here. Then they are cast below. Arresting his extraordinary task, Minos, as soon as he had seen me, said, "O you who reach this house of suffering, be careful how you enter, whom you trust. The gate is wide, but do not be deceived." To which my guide replied, "But why protest? Do not attempt to block his fated path. A passage has been willed above, where one can do what he has willed, and ask no more." Now notes of desperation have begun. Now notes of desperation have begun to overtake my hearing. Okay. Now I come where mighty lamentation beats against me. I reached a place where every light is muted, which bellows like the sea beneath a tempest, when it is battered by opposing winds. The hellish hurricane, which never rests, drives on the spirits with its violence. Wheeling and bounding, it harasses them. When they come up against the ruined slope, then there are cries and wailing of lament. And there they curse the force of the divine. I learned that those who undergo this torment are damned because they sinned within the flesh, subjecting reason to the rule of lust. And as... In the cold season, starlings' wings bear them long and broad in crowded ranks. So does the blast bear on the guilty spirits. Now here, now there, now down, now up. It drives them. There is no hope that ever comforts them. No hope for the rest, and none for lesser pain. And just as cranes in flight will chant their lays, arraying their long file across the air, so did the shades of soul approaching, borne by the assailing wind, lament and moan, so that I asked him, Master, whose are those who suffer punishment in this dark air? The first of those about whose history you want to know. My master then told me. My master then told me, once ruled as empress over many nations, her voice to lust became so customary that she made license licit in her laws to free her from the scandal that she caused. She is Semiramis, of whom we read that she was Nina's wife and his successor. She held the land of Sultan. Now commands. The other spirit killed herself for love, and she betrayed the Asses of Sigeus. The wanton Cleopatra follows next. See, Helen. Oh, for whose sake so many years of evil had to pass. See great Achilles, who finally met love in his battle. See Paris, Tristan. And he pointed out the named. And he pointed out a name to me more than a thousand shades departed from our life because of love. No sooner had I heard my teacher name. The ancient ladies and the knights. Then pity seized me. And I was like a menace. Astray. My first words. Poet, I should willingly speak with those two who go together there. and seem so lightly carried by the wind. Oh. And he to me. Oh. You'll see when they draw closer to us. And when you may appeal to them. But that love which impels them, they will come. Oh. No. Fuck. Okay. No sooner had the wind bent them towards us than I urged on my voice. Oh, battered souls, if one does not forbid it, speak with us. Even as doves once summoned by desire, borne forward by their will, move through the air with wings uplifted still. To their sweet nest. Those spirits left the ranks where died of suffers. Approaching us through the malignant air, so powerful, had been my loving cry. O living being, gracious and benign, who through the darkened air have come to visit our souls that strain the world with blood. If he who rules the universe were friend to us, then we should pray to him to give you peace, for you have pitied our atrocious state. Whatever pleases you to hear and speak will please us too, to hear and speak with you. Now all the wind is silent in this place. The land where I was born lies on the shore, to which the Po, together with the waters that follow it, descends to final rest. Love that can quickly seize the gentle heart took hold of him because of the fair body taken from me. How that was done still wounds me. Love that releases no beloved from loving took hold of me so strongly that his beauty that, as you see, it has not left me yet. Love led the two of us unto one death. Keen awaits for him who took our life. Oh. These words were born across from him to us. When I had listened to those injured souls, I bent my head and held it low until the poet asked me, "What are you thinking?" Oh. When I replied, my words began. Alas, how many gentle thoughts, how deep a longing had held them to the agonizing past. Oh. Oh, God. Okay. Then I addressed my speech again to them, and I began, "Francesca, your afflictions move me to tears of sorrow and of pity. But tell me, in the time of gentle sighs, with what and in what way did love allow you to recognize the still uncertain longings?" And she to me, "There is no greater sorrow than thinking back upon a happy time in misery. And this your teacher knows. Yet if you long so much to understand the first root of our love..." Mm. Then I shall tell my fairy tale to you as one weeps and speaks. One day, to pass the time away, we read of Lancelot, how love had overcome him when we are alone and we suspected nothing. Okay, I can do it. I can finish this. Okay. And time and time again, that reading led our eyes to meet and made our faces pale, and yet one alone defeated us. When we had read that the desired smile had kissed by one who was so true a lover, this one, who never shall be parted from me, while all his body trembled, kissed my mouth. The Ellen Holt indeed, that book and he who wrote it too. That day, we read no more. And while one spirit said, and while one spirit said these words to me, the other wept, so that, because of pity, I fainted as if I had met my death. And then I fell as a dead body falls. Oh, fuck. Okay. I did it. The Divine Comedy has always done something for me. And the words, okay. Well, clearly, I am beyond sexually frustrated. And I like to edge, so I am going to leave you with this and just see how this goes. I'm gonna see how this goes. Okay, thank you for listening.